way then. Let's waste no time and head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our special guest, Atlanta. This guy has captivated our attention over the last couple of days with his incredibly well-done viral breakdown of the Falcons' offense and the over-reliance on the pistol. And Dan Orlovsky joins me now. Dan, listen, this has been a bugaboo here in Atlanta going back to last season when Kirk Cousins was coming off the injury and we had to hear about this pistol formation over and over and over again as he recovered. And now it's translated into Michael Penix Jr.'s career here in Atlanta, which is not off to a great start this season. So why, in your opinion, is the over-reliance of the pistol formation hurting the Falcons' offense?
Yeah, good to be with you. I just think that the way that Atlanta uses it, there's an over-reliance on it, and also one of the genesises of the benefits of pistol they don't utilize as well. So, like, when I watch teams run action, indoor play action, and it's from the shotgun or it's from underneath, like, I don't even love it from the shotgun that much. But when it's from the underneath aspect of the quarterback at center, like, there's just a strain on everybody from the defense, both in a horizontal and a vertical. You know, there's a – when you run play action and you're in the pistol, it's really not a strain in any way horizontally because – the quickness of it, the lack of movement by the quarterback off of his spot, like, a defensive end is taught in play action. If a quarterback's underneath, like, hey, you got to match the quarterback's steps if he's running away from you. So there's a horizontal pull from that defensive end. And the pistol, there's not really a pull. So that was clip number one. Like, hey, we're not really impacting that defensive end and we're running towards an unblocked guy. Like, for me, I'm like that. I would love to see that underneath the center. So we're kind of giving it away there. The run game stuff, and, you know, I even said it in the clip, is like, dude, this is a good run game. I think it could be the best run game, you know, top two run game. And when the back is getting the ball so deep in the pistol and not going downhill, I think backs start to feel things or cut before things or not timed up with the blocking and the strain of those offensive linemen. You know, I went back because I had some people say some things, and I went back and watched the Lions. Watch the Lions when they hand the football off where their back gets the ball. He's about 4.5 yards from the line of scrimmage. That's a run game. That doesn't give a defense time to react. And so I think there's too much of that. And then obviously in the pass game, it's – and I'm not saying this is an intentional thing, but it's just when you're in the gun and the pistol so much as a quarterback, I feel like you're just promoting standstill. Like, I just – I don't see a lot of movement and urgency out of Michael because it feels like he's constantly just in that spot.
The Falcons have a 4% downfield rate. It is among, if not the worst, in the NFL. And with Michael Penix Jr. and the rocket launcher, Dan, that he has attached to his left shoulder, you would think that would be a strength for the Falcons, not an ultimate weakness. Yeah. How do you get that corrected?
Yeah, the way that I believe football and the ability to throw the ball downfield is attached to two things. One, and you guys in Atlanta know this, you have a freak at wide receiver that you could just throw the ball to. You had him for about 10 years. His name was Julio Jones. Julio was one of those guys that you could just line up out there and launch the ball deep to him, no matter what your action was, no matter what the coverage was. They don't have that right now. Or two, you have to play action defenses with the style of defense nowadays. You have to create a vertical strain and then gashes in the defense that are about 20-plus yards deep. You not running play action and then doing it out of the pistol, in my opinion, you're not doing that as impactful as it's needed. You're not – think about it from this regard, okay, guys? First down and 10. I'm underneath the center. I'm Michael Penix. I open up to my left, and I show a ball fake to Bijan Robinson 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, and I put the ball in his belly, and then all of a sudden that defense is like, oh, my God, we got to run to the football. And then all of a sudden I pull the ball out of his belly, and I get to 8 yards deep in the pocket. Now I've taken the linebackers who are 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. I've brought them to the line of scrimmage. The safety has to get deep with a player like Mooney. So Mooney's 20 yards downfield now. I have 20 yards of space that I could throw the football in the middle of the field, okay? Now, if I'm on the pistol, the defense doesn't feel Bijan like that. The second-level linebacker doesn't feel Bijan like that because I'm just turning around and placing the ball. Guess what? They can see everything. They see the whole thing. So there's no fear for them. There's no urgency for them to get downhill. And so that goes back to, I just think there's not enough of that in their offense. And everyone was like, I'm not calling for Zach Robinson to be fired, or I'm not calling for their jobs. I just think they're in it too much, and they're not straining the defense enough, in my opinion, to push the ball vertically.
You mentioned Zach Robinson. It was announced, as we're talking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst. Make sure you check him out every single day on NFL Live, that Zach will be moving from the booth to the field. As a former quarterback, what advantages does that have? Because, Dan, there has been communication issues between the two this season.
Yeah, I you know, there's pros and cons, right? I mean, I've been a part of teams that have done this. You know, you're there. If you're the coach and the quarterback, you're there with each other talking in between every series, right? And so you're face-to-face. You're looking at pictures together. You're not having to have this conversation. Like, you can look at this picture and have a little bit more of a detailed conversation. You know, Zach could have more conversations with the linemen or the tight ends or the backs or what they're seeing. And, you know, so there could be a little bit more direct conversation or group conversation. So I do think that, like, in that realm or in that aspect, it's a beneficial thing. You know, it'll be interesting because I think it changes Zach's, you know, vantage point. Obviously, sitting up in the box, you've got a much higher view or much elevated view of what the defense is doing and what's going on. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to it. He's got a really difficult job. Calling plays is tough. So, calling plays is tough, you know. And so, you know, hopefully that expedites some of the communication issues that they've reportedly had.
If you were Zach Robinson, what areas of Michael Penix Jr. would you look to improve upon specifically in terms of his mechanics? It looks like he's dropping his arm a little bit too much, and it looks like his footwork is way off.
Yeah. So, okay, again, this is me maybe being by myself on this, but it's something I stand by and just I believe in strongly. When the quarterback is in the pistol and the gun often, I just think it's really difficult to marry his feet and the timing of throws to routes and route concepts. Because I think quarterbacks that are in the gun more often than not, they live in this catch and throw world, and they're very much so reactive rather than proactive. Like, when you're a quarterback underneath the center, you're trained, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, first hitch goes there, second hitch goes there, and the pass concept and the depth of those routes is attached to the timing of that, right? Like, it takes me 1.7 seconds to get to the top of my drop and a five step, you know, in the gun. It's hard to gauge that. And so I think, like, you know, Michael living in the pistol and the gun, just for me, I think, again, it goes back to promoting a little bit of like a lack of urgency, a lack of timing. You know, there's clips where last week he's got Kyle down the seam, and if he sees him, it's a touchdown. But like, he catches the football and he just is staring at Drake on the sideline. Drake's not ready for the ball. And so then I think he just gets into this place of like, okay, what do I do now? Instead of like, you're trained in your drop. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ball's out to Drake. If it's not there, you're resetting to Kyle. You're resetting to a back or something like that. And so I think that just building in the structure of that is a really big deal. And I think, again, the gun and pistol creates a little bit of a lack of urgency. I think it creates a disconnect with your eyes and your feet. And the route concept. And I then think, like, his pick six, he didn't move. Like, he didn't even move. And so I don't think it allows your feet to really be a part of the game on a consistent basis. And I'm not saying you can never do the gun or the pistol. I just think that's right now a place where it just feels like it's a struggle.
Dan, before I let you go, what is your opinion on playing in the preseason? Raheem Morris chose not to play his starters. Once again, do you think that could be a factor in what's going on, or does preseason reps, is that not really a big deal in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think preseason reps matter a lot, specifically for young players. You know, joint practices and how did those go? How real were they? Who was it against? You know, were you dealing in all the situations that you're going to be presented in the regular season? So, yeah, I definitely think that for younger players, I'm in support of trying to get those guys as many reps as possible. You know, and again, independent of joint practices, which has become a bigger deal. Like, I think the more reps that those guys, young players get, you know, especially the guys who haven't played a ton, I think it's a big deal.
Dan, thanks so much for the time. We'll be checking you out on ESPN.
Thank you.